James chapter 1 and the first verse. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, I can just hear James say that. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and, notice the promise, it shall be given him. Now, we have one more study. And stay with us, and we'll try to conclude this portion of James that's on our heart tomorrow morning with blessing for you. I look at verse 4 at the moment, and I believe that we mentioned to you that in the fourth verse we have two things. First, we have patience, and then we have purpose. Let patience have her perfect work. The purpose, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, if you have any idea that patience is going to produce sinless perfection, you'll be disappointed. If you're here with your husband, and you're saying to yourself, I hope my husband gets that message. Or you're saying, I hope my wife gets it. Don't fool yourself. It won't lead to sinless perfection. And just because the word is used twice, perfect, in this passage, I don't want you to get your hopes up for something that doesn't exist this side of the rapture, or going to be with the Lord. A man out in Tacoma, Washington, got very angry with me at a conference. And he got angry. Because it was a Moody conference. And Moody had set up a question box in the morning, after the morning service or session. And this man put a question in. Did I believe in sinless perfection? And when I finished with it, he stood up. So he identified himself. And he said, I want you to know I haven't sinned for 7 years. Now, I want to tell you, that beats my wife's record. You know, hers has been about 6.5. And Bob's, I think... Well, he might have gone 10, but 9.75 may be more accurate. But seriously, he got very angry. And I couldn't help but believe that he didn't understand sin, really. Now, this doesn't produce sinless perfection, but it does produce maturity. Now, watch it. Notice the word patience. Let patience have her perfect work. I've said a number of times in the study that the word patience has in it the thought of endurance. The ability to stay under. Hupomene. Hupo, under. Meno, to remain or to stay. The ability to stay under. As soon as you and I face a problem, the first thing we try to do is extricate ourselves from the problem. We roll up our sleeves And we go to work on that thing, hoping that we can dismiss it through our own efforts. And it doesn't work that way, always, by any means. We'll miss a blessing if we fail to stay under God's dealings with us. Now, because it means to stay under, it does translate beautifully with the word endurance. It takes endurance to stay under a problem or a need or something that savors of trial in our lives. When we might remove ourselves from some of these things, yes. If we have a need, most people who have any reputation can go down to the bank and borrow money to meet that need. But how about trusting God for the need? You know, it's a wonderful experience to trust the Lord. I used to think in earlier days, what would we ever do if for any reason we didn't have a salary, even if it was a small one? What would we do? Well, I received last year a contract twice to a Bible college to teach, and I love to teach. There were a couple of reasons why I didn't accept it. It would have been most inviting. And my son is a professor there. That would have been wonderful. One of the guiding reasons to me was, I hesitate to put myself in a position where I would be dependent or seem to depend upon that salary. We have been trusting the Lord, and we have found, as many of you have found, that it's beautiful to trust the Lord and see God at work. I do not condemn a salary, no. But it's a matter of preference. I don't think you're going to put George Mueller on a salary. And some of the other saints of God. I remember talking to T. Ernest Wilson one time. And he just rejoiced in the provision of God. So did Dr. Ironside. And many times he wrote and talked about how good God was to him on very specific occasions. Well, now, if you have a need, yes, you could really remedy that need quickly. But you might miss a real blessing. It's good to wait on the Lord and to trust also in Him, you see. Now, when it says, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, you see, God has a purpose in the trial. He is going to help you to realize that purpose if you stay under the trial, if you are willing to endure for God. Now, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't take your medicine. No. God wants us to be wise. If the doctor says this prescription will help you, you get that prescription. Because God uses means. You see. Now, however, if there is a problem, a trial in your life, you will discover this, that as you wait upon God, willing to endure the trial for as long as God visits you with it, you will discover that at the end of your experience, He will have built something into your spiritual self, into your Christian character, that you could have received in no other way. How good of the Father to know how to teach us. He's a wise Father, and we should respond to His every word and every gesture of instruction in our lives. Now, If we escape the pressure, we will miss the results of the testing. I said a moment ago, we can escape the whole experience by our own planning. Yes, let's call it even by our own manipulations. But we'll miss the blessed results of the testing. You see, patience is really a very active virtue. And its perfect work is that of consistently and constantly refining our lives so that we become more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the purpose, that ye may be perfect and entire. Now, in the Bible, we read perfect. Always note the context of a word or a passage. Always note the area of truth with which God is dealing as you look at a certain passage. If the word perfect is used in a context that is descriptive of God, then you have perfection in the absolute. Because God could be no less than absolutely perfect. In God, there is no variableness. There's no switching from hot to cold in terms of character and morality. There's no switching from 0 to 212 with God. No. With God, He is consistently and constantly, infinitely holy. So He is perfect. Now, if the context of the passage in which perfect occurs has to do with you and me, then it is a relative perfection, you see. It is relative as it's used of the believers and of the saints, and I believe that it points to a spiritual maturity which is relative in the sense that it is opposed to babyhood or childhood. I have had a class in Greek for some time now. We've just about finished translating 1 John. And I was thrilled afresh as we went through verse or chapter 2. And noticed again in 1 John chapter 2 the use of the expressions fathers and young men and little children. Sometime begin to read at verse 12 and get the blessing from it. Why does he speak of fathers and young men and little children? Because he's dividing the family of God according to their degree of maturity. Oh, there are fathers in the faith. There are men and women who have matured under the working of God through the Word. They are strong. They're adults. They're not shattered by some reversal. No, they have had reversals before. They've exercised their spiritual biceps and they have withstood the storms and now they will trust God under every circumstance. They're fathers. They're a young man, strong, sturdy, full of life, full of vigor, always wanting to do something for God, but they're not as strong and steady as the young man. My, how wise it is in our assemblies for older men to give attention to the training of young men. That's been one of my burdens. That's been one of the reasons why I have discussed with some in the assemblies what we call the mini Bible Institute or mini Bible school for 2 weeks in the summer, or excuse me, 2 weeks in the spring and 2 weeks in the fall for 3 years. And this some men have seen as being valuable to train young men for future leadership. And I'm frank to say that some assemblies have declined, not only because people have moved away or died off, but because young leadership has not been adequately encouraged in terms of training and activity for future service. These young men are great fellows. Now the little children, who doesn't love a little child? And God loves His young children. Oh, they need to know how to walk and how to talk. They need to study. They need to learn their spiritual ABCs. And so perfection in this passage, and in many like it, is a relative perfection. That is, as compared to maturity, some are babies. Others are young men. And those who are described as being fathers, they are men who have not attained perfection, but they have attained adulthood. That's the idea behind the word teleos. Adulthood, maturity. So then we read, let patience have her perfect work. That is to say, God's trial in the life has in it, for one reason, God's purpose to develop the Christian so that he might more adequately and certainly reach maturity in his life. He might become an adult, or she might become an adult in Jesus Christ. Now, the word entire is used. Perfect and entire. Here's a word for you. And as I look at that word, I notice that it is a word that means to be made up of many parts. Think of that. A watch may have many parts. Yes, a piece of machinery can look very complicated. I can look at a television grid or something dealing with electronics, and they can talk to me about this and this and this and this, and I don't understand it all, but oh, it looks so complicated. Many parts. Oh, God uses such wonderful words of Christians or of His dealings with them. What does God want to produce through that trial, that illness that's troubled you for so long? What does God want to do in that privation? Your plans didn't work out. You were disappointed, and so you suffered a disappointment. You've experienced loneliness. You didn't realize all your dreams in life. All your plans didn't work out. Things turned out quite a bit different than you expected. Your position seemed to flee. And, there's so many disappointments. Now, God wants to put us all together. You see, if we succumb to the trial, there's something lacking in the life. God wants to produce in us a relative perfection. He wants us to be adults in Christ. But He wants us also to possess all our parts. What is God driving at? He's simply saying, I don't want anything of spiritual value to be missing from your lives. There it is. Oh, we can go to God and we can ask Him, Lord, what's missing? I'm willing for it, Lord. Then don't be surprised if a testing comes your way. Wanting nothing. God has designed His workings in our lives so that we shall suffer no spiritual lack. No spiritual lack. And there is in Jesus Christ more than sufficient to produce Christ-likeness in every one of us. When we are mature and we have all our parts, when we have an ample provision and we accept it in terms of spiritual provision for us, then we can be said to have all our parts and we are entire. Gypsy Smith was mentioned to me this morning. I heard him once in Philadelphia. Gypsy Smith was in Minneapolis. He preached at a certain church. Outside the church was a newsstand. A gentleman sold papers in the evening. And the gypsy would come in to the meeting. He would always stop and buy a paper from the newsman, give him a little word for the Lord, and go his way into the building. But the newsman didn't quite understand that this man wasn't going to be there forever. And when he was told by the gypsy at the end of 2 weeks that he was going to leave the city, he was disappointed. And a friend found him one day sitting on the steps of the church. And the newsman brought up the fact that this man had left town. And he said, "I hated to see him go. He reminded me so much of Jesus." There it is. I was in North Uxbridge, Massachusetts. And a dear lady, 83 years of age, she was as wide as she was tall. Aunt Mary, oh, how she loved to cook. And she loved to cook for preachers. Why is it that people feel that preachers are just human carts to carry around bundles of groceries? I don't know. But she believed it. Well, Pastor and I went over to her home for a noon meal. Ah, yes. She was going to serve it in the dining room, but I could sit. She wanted to sit right there at that circular table while she was cooking. So we sat there and we talked with her, and she was in the kitchen moving about. And suddenly she said to me, "Do you know that that's a very important chair where you're sitting?" And I said, "It is." "Oh, yes," she said. "S.D. Gordon used to come to see me. And," she said, "he sat in that chair." And she said, "Do you know, he would talk to me from the dining room, and I would listen to him in the kitchen, and sometimes I would be afraid to turn and look into the dining room lest I see God." Oh, beloved, if only men and women could realize the provision that God has made for us, so that His full purpose of producing Christ-likeness in us would be realized, and that others might become conscious of the Lord in our lives. All of God's work is to equal spiritual maturity and the possession of all our spiritual parts. Everything that Christ Jesus died to provide for us. We have just a couple of minutes. I want you to look for a moment at 5. We just prepare the way for tomorrow morning. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I want to tell you that well's deep. You can draw from it every hour and every moment of the day. It's deep. And God's wisdom is satisfying. This God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, never scolds us as we come. And the promise is it shall be given. There are, let me see, I think I see 4 things in this passage. There is poverty, if any man lack wisdom. There is prayer, let him ask of God. You see it? And then there is provision, who giveth to all men liberally. And then I notice the promise, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Poverty, prayer, provision, and promise. There it is, all in a nutshell. If any of you lack wisdom, we'll have no more time except to define wisdom as I want to define it, and to hang on to it until tomorrow morning. We'll go on with this. Wisdom. I think wisdom, from the secular point of view, could be thought of as the accumulated philosophic or scientific learning that we experience in our lives. We call it knowledge. But it's more than that. I think wisdom is the ability to discern inner qualities and relationships. And if that is so, and it is, then wisdom is insight. Wisdom is accumulated facts, accumulated knowledge, and it is also the equivalent to insight. But you know, wisdom is also good sense. And therefore, wisdom is sound judgment. And then, you know, wisdom is involved in attitudes or in courses of action. And therefore, I believe it's related to wise conduct. Now, God wants to treat our need, and we need wisdom. He wants to give us knowledge, He wants to give us insight, and He wants to give us good judgment, and He wants to endow us with the proper attitudes and lead us to take the right courses of action in our lives. Do we need wisdom? I say we do. And 1983 will be a pretty bad year for all of us if we don't have the wisdom of God and if we don't exercise that wisdom under His care and provision. So let's leave it there. And we'll go on tomorrow morning. Now have a good morning and a good day. Tonight, we're going to discuss the subject of the birth of missions. Will you pray about that message with me? Our Father, we pray that Thou wilt bless the Word to our hearts this morning. We so often need Thy Word, and we open the Scriptures to passages that just meet it. And should that be the case here this morning, Father, we pray that Thou wilt use that which has been read from the Word and spoken to bless hearts through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now shake hands with some folks. And I hope nobody's going to leave us today. We'll haunt you if you do. I make a pretty big ghost, you know. All right. Blessings on you. Visit the book room. And why not take one of the charts back for the assembly? Why don't you do that?